today on Real Radio.
Anybody down? Anybody depressed? Anybody oppressed? Anybody devastated? This craziness, and you're wondering what's going on. And he says, just keep going. Just keep going. And he gets you through on the other side. And then he turns around and he says, you made it. Now tell others about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continuing in our series called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah, with the message, Can You Tell Me Where God Lives? Thanks for joining us today. In this final chapter of Isaiah, we see how God lives everywhere. He alone inhabits eternity. He is the one true God that cannot change, and no other man-made God can hold to his truth. In Isaiah chapter 65, we learned that God pursues us before we even thought of pursuing him. But a life of fulfillment and purpose is possible only when we surrender our hearts and minds to the Lord and accept him as our personal Savior. When sin entered the world, well, it threw everything off. But when Christ comes back, he's going to set things right. The future for the true believer will be awesome. He has prepared for us things that we can't even imagine. So today on day two of Isaiah chapter 66, Pastor Jack tells us that even though God created everything, he's not going to impose himself upon us. Even though he wants to live in the heart of every person, he's not going to stay where he's not welcome. God lives where the poor believer's heart struggles and where the poor in spirit battles in the mind. And now continuing in his lesson called, Can You Tell Me Where God Lives? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ changes the world by changing the hearts of people. But he's a perfect gentleman and he'll never knock down the door of your life. You've got to open that door and say, Lord, come in. Live in me. Verse 2 goes on to tell us, look at this. For all those things my hand has made. I've made all that stuff. See, that's why a lot of scholars believe that verse 1, he's talking about the created heavens and the earth, of course, that he's made. And he says, all these things my hands have made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is what, church? Poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Three things, please write it down. Everyone write this down. Number one, God says, look, I've made all that stuff and that's not the issue. God says, this is the issue. You wanna know where I live? Yeah, I live everywhere, but you wanna know where I wanna live? I wanna live in the heart of any person who, number one, who views themselves as they are. That's what the word poor is. This is not talking about money. Don't be fooled. It's not money. Oh, look, the poor are automatically blessed by God. Not true. By the way, the rich are not automatically blessed by God either. Has nothing to do with your station in life. He's talking about you being poor. In fact, you know what? Jesus said it in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There you go. It means to look at yourself and say, oh my goodness, I'm a wretch. I am that rebel sliding down a firehouse pole straight into hell because my sins are pulling me down and I've been cussing at God all my life. And you know what? I'm wrong. Lord, save me. You know, think about it. The thief on the cross, he was crucified, but he was sliding down a firehouse pole right into hell. At the last, imagine how close he was to the flames. He might have even felt heat. Wow. And he was rescued. And then the Bible says contrite spirit. What does that mean? Wounded. Listen, cheer up. Anybody down here? Don't raise your hand. Anybody down? Anybody depressed? Anybody oppressed? Anybody devastated? By what? It doesn't matter. Devastated. Devastated by your own weakness? Devastated by the fastballs and curveballs of life? Just devastated. You'd say, my life stinks. I had somebody tell me recently, you know what? I'm miserable. My life is messed up. I know too much about God to walk away from him. And yet my life is so messed up, I don't want to go any further forward. I just want to die right here. That person was speaking about contrition of life, of the heart, contrite. It's that tremendous realization that I am wounded, I'm tired, I'm frayed, I'm giving up. I can't go any further. You ever feel like that? You can't go any further? Everyone feels like that from time to time. If you're going to be, look, if you're going to be a Christian that is going to make a difference, just sign up for this. And I'm not being funny. Seriously, think it, you know, think it through. Do you really want God to use you as much as he wants you to be used? Then hand over the contract and the steering wheel and the keys to him. And for reasons known only to God, he will do things in your life that are beautifully terrible. They are horrifically desirable. You will become a slave of his will, wrapped in chains that are made out of love and velvet. I don't understand it, but I can tell you this. I've gone too far down this road with Jesus. I've seen him bail me out so many times through issues that he has engineered. I'm not talking about, oh man, I really sinned and messed up and he bailed me out. I'm talking about walking right on dead center with Jesus. And everything's blowing up in heaven. This craziness, and you're wondering what's going on. And he says, just keep going. Just keep going. And he gets you through on the other side. And then he turns around and he says, you made it. Now tell others about it. Are you contrite of heart and of spirit? If you are tonight, you know it. If you're not, you don't. You'll know it tonight because you feel like quitting, but you can't. You are a child of the Almighty God, and he's working in your life. He uses the word here, and he who trembles, what an absolutely beautiful statement. He who trembles at my word. When was the last time you trembled at reading the word of God? I hope it was this morning. I read this morning. This is personal. Don't tell anybody this, but I'm reading Proverbs. And the Bible there says that a fool cannot control his emotions. And you say, well, why? What's the big deal? Because about 3 days ago, my emotions got the best of me. Don't get me wrong. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't run anything over. I didn't choke anything. I had a bad attitude. Are you with me? Do you understand? Don't look at me like that. I had a bad attitude about something. And then if you would have stopped me and asked me, why y'all been out of shape? Seriously, why are you been out of shape? Who did what to you? You know what my answer was? Nothing. No one's done nothing to me. Have you ever had those times? You see, what is it? Sin. I began to listen to some lies in my head. Nobody told me any lies. I entertained them in my head. And I got bent out of shape. And I don't know if it was Lisa or my daughters or grandkids or our dog turned and asked me a question and I snapped. Why don't you go find out for yourself? No, it was worse than that. Just kidding, but what happened? Sin. That what I would not want to do, I did. Then you have to, and I love this. This is so true. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have reacted that way. And God says, what are you telling them for? Listen, you need to talk to me first. You sinned against me first. You sinned when you were mean with your words out loud, but you first sinned in your mind. You didn't get your mind under control. You let that thought take your head, then it drove you down the path and you got away from me. You know how long that takes? Seconds. Hallelujah. Do you know how long it takes to get back with Jesus? Seconds. So become a believer. It's awesome. Very exciting. Dynamic life. But listen, where does the Messiah, where does Jesus live? Listen to this. He lives where the poor believer's heart struggles. Is your heart struggle? That's where he lives. He lives where the contrite believer's mind is in a battle. Is it a constant war in your mind against the thoughts and ideas of yourself in this world, against the will of God? He lives where the trembling believer's soul is in awe of God. When's the last time you stood in awe of God? Find a place that will provoke the awe of God. If you want to go out in the desert, look at the sky, the stars, do it. Whatever strikes you. There's things, I'm kind of simple personally. I don't have to watch the rocket take off. I freak out for me personally. I love flowers. I mean, some people say, well, you know what? And then what? You what? I love flowers. I thought you liked shooting guns. Love guns. I love blowing stuff up. It's a blast. It's awesome. Rolling around in the dirt. It's fantastic. Going crazy. You know, when we're flying somewhere, I'm going someplace and the turbulence is knocking people around. I love that stuff. But, you know, on Instagram or Facebook, I'll post a flower and I'll say, it's an awesome day. And people are like, is he the same guy? I love that kind of stuff. Why? Causes me to be in awe of God. A thunderstorm causes me to fall on my face. Look, I think Sunday afternoon, doesn't matter. A few days ago, Lisa and I were down at the beach and the waves, there's a storm in Mexico. The waves were huge. And you can feel the ground. Boom. The wave breaks. Beautiful wave, right? Boom. And the ground shakes. You want to be in awe of God? Go down to the wedge and stand there. If you really want to be in awe of God, go in the water. 15, 17 foot waves breaking in 2 feet of water. That will get your attention. Tremble. The Bible says in Psalm 84:10, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Why? Because he's awesome. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, and you know this, David, about dwelling with God. Where does God live? David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Listen, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. David is not talking about a physical temple because it wasn't built yet. David is talking about either his own personal worship. Look, I don't know the answer to this. It's either David's personal worship of God in private, or David's worship of God and he's understanding that God's enthroned in heaven above. And the real temple, church, has always been. Read the book of Hebrews. Where is it? It's heaven. The Bible tells us that God's real temple, God's real ark of the covenant, the real mercy seat, the Bible says is in heaven. Remember, he gave the blueprints to Moses and he said, build it exactly to the pattern of what I showed you from heaven. The book of Hebrews tells you that all of that stuff that was made for the nation in its worship at the temple and on the tabernacle was a model of heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus did not, thank you, Lord, he did not go into a temple in Jerusalem after he rose again from the dead and present his blood on the altar in Jerusalem. Thank God he didn't do that, because that in 70 AD, that came crashing down. And if he would have done that, your salvation would have been lost forever. No, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he entered a temple in heaven that moth or rust or thieves cannot break in and steal or rust corrode, and that he presented his blood before the Father in heaven. And the Bible tells us again in the book of Hebrews that he is now appearing. I love that. He is now appearing there for you. What an awesome God. In verses 3-6, we learn that he lives in righteousness. Can you tell me where God lives? Yep, he lives in righteousness. He goes and says, now watch this. He begins to rebuke. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He's talking about people who are mean. You know, there's people that will just do evil things. They'll hurt a cat, or they'll shoot a dog, and they're just freaks. They're sick. God says, you know what, that wicked heart, it's not limited to somebody attacking an animal. They'll kill a man if they get a chance. It's a murderous spirit. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. And he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. And he who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their own delights in the abominations, so will I choose their delusions. Wow. And bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. This is God speaking. And when I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, he's talking to Israel, your brethren who hated you, Jew against Jew, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. It's pretense. But they shall be ashamed. God says there's the fake house of Israel and there's the believing house of Israel. Verse 6, the sound of the noise from the city and the voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. He lives in righteousness, church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, listen. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know? Now look, a Jew is talking to a bunch of Greeks, Gentiles. He says, do you not know that you are the, wait, what's that say? What's it say? Are you tracking with me? Is Paul making a mistake? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? What in the world is Paul saying? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Can I reverse it? Let me state the qualifier first. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are the temple of God. Did you know that? You say, I've never heard that before. Just hang on. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Are you a Christian? Then present your life to God in righteousness and don't sin against God or else you'll have a premature life. So what does that mean? Lose my salvation? No, the Bible says that God will take you home prematurely, early. A man can shorten his life because of his rebellion against God and yet still be a believer. The Old Testament and the New backs that up in scriptures time and time again. You want to walk in righteousness with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. You guys okay? Okay, I've been going slow right now. Now I'm going to go fast because we're going to be done in 15 minutes. I know, so hang on. Your hair is going to be blowing in the wind here. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Are you a Christian? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. God owns your body. You say, well, I'm ugly. Don't say that to God. He made you that way. He likes you. Say, yeah, but I have a mole right here. My legs are too long or my legs are too short. And why about my nose? Listen, I don't know. I just know this. Are you a believer? Yes. Then your body is the temple of the living God. Well, couldn't have made it better looking. Couldn't have made it. Stop it. You're absolutely a dwelling of the Spirit of God in you. So listen to this. How much is that true? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ, think about your body, and make them members? That is, the word, by the way, means to join, or to become consummated or to finish off. The word means to be connected as one piece. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Is this graphic? Is this serious? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot, you understand what he's talking about, right? Is one body with her? Did you know that's true, period? What does that mean? It's pure science. He's talking pure science here and spirit. According to God, I didn't make this up. According to God, when someone has sexual union, it is a spiritual event, even if you're not even a believer. You can be an atheist. And God says, you are doing something that is absolutely spiritual. We're so stupid. We think it's all casual. I mean, I'm joking, not you. I'm just saying, the world. It's casual. It's anybody. It's whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's go for it. You know, well. And did you, every sexual encounter, according to God, with a believer or a non-believer in the world of physics has a spiritual dynamic to it. And physical union, God has made it a spiritual event. If two people are absolutely all over each other and they're pagans and they know not God, listen, they are actually abusing a spiritual institution that God created for righteousness. That's why sex is such a big deal in the Bible, and it's a big deal in the world. Satan knows this. And Paul says, just know that if you join yourself to a harlot, you're joining Christ to a harlot. That's how much God lives inside the believer. He looks through your eyes. He's hearing through your ears. Think of that. Whatever your hands go to, Jesus' hands are going to. Wherever your feet are going, Jesus' feet are going. Or do you not know that you joined to a harlot and is one with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Look at that. It's just pure science, believer or not. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. What a tremendous statement. The next thing in verses 7 and 9 is that he lives among the living. The God of the Bible lives among the living. I love that. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they came to the tomb. And what did the angel say? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Can You Tell Me Where God Lives? Thanks for being here today. And as we come to the end of our study in Isaiah, we hope that you take from it how much God loves you and the bright future you have in eternity with Him. Can You Tell Me Where God Lives is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, I want to let you know we've got a special going on for you right now. Pastor Jack's Isaiah series was really well received. Well, it's on USB, and it's normally available for you for $25. But now, you can get the Isaiah USB, that's 115 messages, for a gift of any amount. You know, the prophet Isaiah lived in Israel during the time that's much like today. Israel was divided. The country had departed from God and His laws, and just like today, Isaiah was troubled over the moral breakdown of God's people and was continually calling for repentance. So Pastor Jack walks us through verse by verse all 66 chapters of this amazing book that deals with sin, judgment, restoration, and forgiveness, also the future. And as God called Isaiah to speak to the people of his day, God is calling believers to speak to those around them about salvation through Jesus Christ and about His glorious return soon to come. Again, it's the Isaiah series on USB, and it's available for your gift of any amount. And you can find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.